Hello, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad that you've joined us here today for our online service. And so normally when we meet together for a Sunday service, together, one of the first things that we do is say good morning to each other. And what really happens is that just turns into a love fest of people getting to experience that connection and open-heartedness that we have with each other. And so what I invite you to do right now, since we aren't together in person, is to close your eyes for a moment and in your mind's eye to hold the vision of some of those people that you sit near on a Sunday morning. And if you don't attend, to hold in your mind's eye some people in this world that you love and care about. And as you see those people in your mind's eye, to send them some love. And to see them wrapped in that love, to see them standing in their own wholeness, in their own authentic power, and to know that as you are doing that, you are actually sending them a blessing, because we are all connected energetically to each other. And to also know that the chances are very high that as someone else is watching this video, that they are actually doing the same thing for you, sending you a blessing. And how wonderful it is to get to participate in that. And so we will begin our service this morning with an evocation, evoking an awareness of the presence of God that is always right where we are. So evoking in our awareness the presence of the divine. And our practitioner, Ray Bunch, is going to come forward and do that. And he will be followed by our new favorite reader, Colleen Lynn, who will be doing a reading for us. And so I invite you just to begin to settle into yourself, that place within you of silence and of stillness, the part of you that is not affected by the outside world, but that is just the core of your own beingness. Just to rest there for a moment.
So I invite you to join me in this invocation. Just stop whatever you've been doing, whatever you're thinking, whatever's going on in your life, and come to this moment. Allow yourself to feel the support of the earth, to be connected to this very sacred spot that we're at right now. Turn within and find that place within your own beingness that is your sacred center, the place where everything else kind of gets blurry, but your sacred understanding becomes sharp and clear. As we turn here, we know that we know. We can surrender and let go of all fear and anxieties and worries. And we recognize that there is just one power, one source, one energy, one life-supplying ever-presence, ever connected to us. We know that we are created from this source, that the one intelligence carries images of our body in it that are absolutely perfect in it at the time of our conception, when we were born into this life. Those images were placed at the center of our beingness and are now working on every particle of our bodies, renewing, restoring, and rejuvenating them, allowing us to have the consciousness to expand and create more, to be connected, to be part of the creative force. So as myself, I don't create anything. But once I'm connected, once I know, and once I feel this presence in my life, and I allow it to absorb me, it functions through me. And how I react and how I respond to the physical world and what's going on around me and the newscast and the cars on the freeway and the kids yelling and hollering at me or whatever's happening, I know that my response is my place of power. If I take control of that and I respond correctly as I believe to be, which is inclusive, which is allowing to be exactly the way it is, to stop judgment and stop having to be different, and just lean into the love that is present always. And my life improves constantly from there. So I bless this service today, and I bless all the people that are watching these videos, and I bless all the people that are participating in creating them. I bless Reverend Jennifer. I bless Colleen, our special reader, who helps me in many, many ways. And I bless Ray Bunch and his full family, and I bless you and your whole family. And I'm going to brag right here and let you know that I've been married 60 years as of the day before yesterday. And I'm celebrating still a great enlightenment. Praise God. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Ray, and congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment. My reading today is a combined writing about two prominent women, bringers of love and justice, who followed their paths, and indeed paths that led them to live their lives with purpose. Do you think when Mother Teresa was caring for a sick person, she asked, "What religion are you?" Or, "What political party are you affiliated with?" No. Her actions transcended these labels, and she responded only with love. Any other answer would not have led her to express her highest potential and purpose. And such is true of the notorious RBG, who just died yesterday. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's mother told her two things constantly. One was to be a lady, and the other was to be independent. The study of law was unusual for women of her generation. For most girls growing up in the 40s, the most important degree was not your BA, it was your MRS. Ginsburg attended law school for personal, selfish reasons. She thought she could do a lawyer's job better than anyone else. Although she arrived without a civil rights agenda, the treatment she received as a woman in law school honed her feminist instincts. One of only nine women at Harvard Law School in 1956, Ginsburg and her female classmates were asked by the dean why they were occupying seats that would otherwise be filled by men. Despite her discomfort, self-doubt, and misgivings, Ginsburg proved to be a stellar student, making the Law Review at Harvard in 1957, and then again at Columbia Law School. This major accomplishment at two top schools was unprecedented by any student, male or female. Upon graduating from Columbia in 1959, she was tied for the first in her class. Still, when she was recommended for a clerkship with a Supreme Court Justice, Felix Frankfurter, he wasn't ready to hire a woman. Prompted by her own experiences, Ginsburg began to handle sex discrimination complaints referred to her by the New Jersey affiliate of the American Civil Liberties Union. The ACLU Women's Rights Project was born in 1972 under Ginsburg's leadership in order to remove these barriers and open opportunities. That same year, she became the first woman to be granted tenure at Columbia Law School. And in 1993, she became the second woman to serve on the United States Supreme Court. In the words of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, "Women's rights are an essential part of the overall human rights agenda, trained on the equal dignity and ability to live in the freedom all people should enjoy." And so it is.
Thank you so much, Colleen. And so I would like to share with you now our mission statement. And so if you know it, you can join me in saying it. If you don't, I just invite you to take this in. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. And that's really what we're up to here at Living Beyond Limits, is we're giving ourselves the opportunity to discover our own spirits, to discover the divine that lives within us, that when we discover that, it urges us and compels us to actually be a beneficial presence in the world. Once we discover our own spirituality and that presence that lives within us, we don't have to make a conscious choice to be a beneficial presence. It's just where we come from and what we move into automatically. And what also happens is as we discover that all of those qualities of the divine are innate to our beingness, that the peace and the love and the wholeness and the power of the divine live within us, then we don't need the outside world to reflect that to us. We come to the world standing in and as those qualities and bring, say, love or peace into the world where it's needed. That's how we act as a beneficial presence in this world. And so I thank every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, the call of the divine within you to be bringing your spirit and your good and your love and kindness and all of those qualities into this world that makes such a difference in this world. So thank you for that. And so I love those readings that Colleen did this morning about two women living with great purpose. And so have you discovered what your purpose is? Have you discovered your purpose in this life? You know, maybe your purpose is to be a teacher and to help children discover and give way to and develop their own innate potential to be able to bring that into the world. Or maybe your purpose in this lifetime is to be a parent and to raise children who are conscious and who are independent, who are caring, so that then when they become adults, they can bring greater good into this world. Or maybe your purpose in life is to fix computers so that people can actually be more successful in their schooling or in their work. Or maybe your purpose in life is to fix cars so that people can actually travel and be mobile and discover the world. I know that when I was in ministerial school, many of the students were wrestling with, why am I doing this ministerial school and why do I want to become a minister? And I never did that wrestling, But I do remember while I was in ministerial school one time, sitting in meditation and hearing the words inside of me, "For this I was born." And so I'm very clear that ministry is part of my purpose in living this life. You know, as spiritual beings, it's really important to us to contribute, to make a positive impact in this world, to make a difference in this lifetime. We need to contribute. We need to live with a sense of purpose, with purpose in our daily lives, because it's as we live with purpose that we make that positive impact in the world, that we make a difference, that we fill that need that we have within us. But the problem is sometimes we aren't clear on what our purpose is. We're not clear about what it actually is. It's rather elusive. But sometimes we are clear about what our purpose is, and then things change. Life changes. You know, our kids grow up and move out of the house, so our parenting is over. Or we reach retirement age, and then we are no longer working. Say if you're a teacher, you're no longer teaching, if that was what your sense of purpose was. Or maybe it's just something like encountering this pandemic, where they're telling us we should stay home as much as we can and that we should keep a distance from other people. Maybe because of this pandemic, the place that you volunteer has been closed, and therefore you don't have that avenue to express a sense of purpose. Or maybe you're just waiting for that avenue to show up at your front door, and then once it shows up, you'll be able to discover that that's actually the thing that's been calling you. Maybe you're just overthinking the whole entire thing because you think your purpose has to be something really big, like Mother Teresa or Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This week, in doing research about purpose, living with a sense of purpose, and what is our purpose of being here on this earth, one of the things that I was reading about was Hinduism. So the Hindu religion teaches that when we incarnate in these bodies, that we then hold a debt to other human beings. We hold a debt to those people that raise us and the people that teach us and the people that assist us. But not only do we hold a debt to those people, but we actually hold a debt to all people. We hold a debt to all living things on this planet. And we repay that debt by treating other people with respect and with kindness. We repay that debt by offering goodwill and by offering food and any other thing that is helpful and appropriate. And so Rumi said, "Be a lamp or a lifeboat or a ladder. Help someone's soul heal." You know, every single time we act as a lamp or a lifeboat or a ladder or help someone's soul heal, we are living with purpose and we are living on a purpose. And so the title of my talk today is "Here I Am." And what I'm actually talking about is we, every single one of us, have the opportunity every single day, no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, to live with purpose and to be on purpose. Regardless of where we are or what we're doing, the person in prison has the opportunity to live with purpose. The person who is working from home has the opportunity to live with purpose. The person who is retired still has the opportunity every single day to live with purpose. And so in the book, Questions and Answers on the Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes and Alberta Smith, it says, "Your desire to express the divine purpose of your individual being is but the innate urge of the great self pushing forward into your consciousness. In this way, it calls your attention, your mind, into cooperating with it." That stuff that we feel passionate about, the stuff that feels like a sense of purpose in our lives, is none other than that divine presence calling to us, expressing itself in us and through us and as us. It is our participation in giving way to something greater in this world. When we listen to our hearts, when we listen to our passion, when we listen to the thing that makes us feel alive and that makes us feel fulfilled, then we are living our own unique purpose and giving way to that purpose. That purpose is the purpose of that Most High God. And that is the way that we give way to it in this world. In us, through us, and as us. And so I read a story this week that I'd like to share with you from the book Create Your Legacy. It's a true story. It says, a huge and unexpected result may materialize from a tiny act of generosity. One afternoon in 2004, Salman Khan, a high-level investment analyst, was asked by a cousin living in a distant U.S. state to help her with her math homework. Salman was the right family member to ask. He graduated at the top of his class as a math major from MIT and finished his business degree from Harvard Business School. To help his cousin, Salman answered her questions by posting a series of short tutorials on the internet. Subsequently, she and several of her friends watched the tutorials and easily mastered the math concepts they formerly didn't grasp. Gradually, the number of hits on Salman's YouTube tutorials grew exponentially to more than 100,000 hits a month. Students have been supplementing their knowledge and understanding with Salman's clear, precise, brief, repeatable, and in-depth explanations. Interestingly enough, Salman Khan didn't dream up this project as a way of making money, but simply as a way of helping a family member and her friends understand the concepts of their schoolwork. A perfect illustration of plain generosity that flourishes naturally to fill a need. Gradually, the 10-minute online tutorials became self-supporting via ads that appeared on the screen, from which Salman derived a percentage. He enjoyed the online teaching so much that he decided to resign from his job as an investment analyst. Khan devotes his time to researching new subjects for the expanding repertoire of academic subjects that are being avidly watched by thousands of people worldwide, at home, in classrooms, and at community centers in tiny villages. He was following his natural passions, his natural unique talents and gifts in a way that was of service in this world. Deepak Chopra calls that Dharma in his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. He talks about Dharma being using our unique gifts and talents in a way that is of service to others and to the world. So, was Salman being a lamp, or a lifeboat, or a ladder, or all three? And maybe you feel like you don't have some extraordinary talent to deliver in the world, to be of purpose like that. I'd like to share another story with you. It says, I stood at the sink washing out my paintbrush. The self-critic in my head was giving me a stern lecture about taking in yet another homeless cat. My aunt had passed away a few months earlier, and we were in the process of clearing out her house. Between that and my other responsibilities, I felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. The cat had been living in a friend's garage. She couldn't afford to take him to the vet, so I offered, thinking it would be a checkup, some shots, and then we'd find him a home. But after meeting with the vet, I realized what I'd gotten into. He had numerous issues, and the worst of which, his eye had been injured and was now infected and would need to be surgically removed. Hence, the reason the critical voice in my head was giving me such a hard time. On top of everything else, I was now responsible for a pitiful-looking, malnourished, one-eyed cat wearing a blue plastic collar, now named Willie. And Willie wasn't too happy about it all either. He was mad and liked to bite me when I tried to do anything to help him. I'll never be able to find a home for him, I thought. Then I looked down into the dirty old paint utility sink in which I was washing my paintbrush. And there at the bottom of the sink was the outline of a cat that looked like an angel. She was looking back at me. It was just a weird arrangement of paint in the sink, but that didn't diminish its message. It spoke loud and clear. It's been years since Willie showed up here. We never found a home for him because we fell in love with him and his quirky personality and the angel still in the sink. Even though years of paint and water have washed over it, it's just sitting there to remind me that we are all angels sent here to look after one another. Edwin Hubble Chapin said, "Every action in our lives touches some chord that will vibrate out into eternity." Every single time we do something that affects another human being in a positive way ripples out into this world and into eternity. And so what if every morning when you got up, if you began every day remembering oneness, that we are one with every single person, with every single animal, with every single thing, with the whole of all of it? What if you remembered that we are one at our essence, that we are one in spirit, each individuations of that infinite presence of love and of good and of intelligence and of life itself? Remembering that truth of oneness points us in the direction of living with purpose and living on purpose. It's kind of like a compass that points true north. Once we are facing that direction of oneness, it changes the decisions that we make. It changes our actions. It changes how we see things. It changes how we come to the world. When we are facing that true north, that truth of oneness, we are then guided by love and by caring and by generosity and by inclusion. Then we are guided by care and respect. And what if also every day you listen to your heart instead of listening to the news and instead of listening to your fear? What if you listen to your heart instead of the part of yourself that is out in the future that is worrying about what if? What if there isn't enough? Or the part of you that is caught up in the past and in your judgments and saying, yeah, but they did this and they did that. What if instead you listen to your heart? We live with purpose and we live on purpose when we listen to our hearts and when we listen to our spirits. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel very clear to us about what our purpose is, but what I've discovered really is that the way to discover what your purpose is to actually get out there and do something. It's when we actually do something and try it on that we discover if it fits or not, that we discover if it's fulfilling and satisfying or not. That's where we discover if this is ours to do. And so since we have not been meeting in person, and I realized this week, can you believe it? It's been 6 months since we have been not meeting in person. When we first quit meeting in person, I started doing Thursday evening Zoom calls because I thought it was really important that people maintain a sense of connection with each other. Because that sense of connection that we have with community is part of the reason that it's so satisfying to go to church. But I could not have known ahead of time how that Zoom meeting would, that it would be so rich and so satisfying for each of those people that come and participate on that Zoom meeting. I couldn't have known ahead of time that I would actually feel on purpose leading those Zoom meetings. Because the attendees on that Zoom meeting get spiritually fed, which I am very clear is part of my purpose. But I think what's even better than that is the people on that Zoom call get to be seen and they get to be known. And they get to be seen and known and loved and cared for and cared about. And that is one of our greatest needs as human beings, is to be seen and known and accepted while we're in the midst of sharing our stuff, to be accepted and loved and cared for. And it's a platform for that to happen. And that feels like a blessing to me, just like I know that it's a blessing to everyone else, that I get to participate in that and be a catalyst for that. But I wouldn't have known that was going to happen if I hadn't actually tried it. I've read so many stories recently about people that are contributing to this world, that are making a difference, that are making a positive impact, that are being loving and kind and caring. And one of the things that I read this week was that in India, you know, where it's very strong class system, that for the first time ever in history, one of the things that has happened because of this pandemic and during this pandemic is people who have housekeepers are continuing to pay their housekeepers even though they're not coming and cleaning their houses. That is living with purpose. That is being on purpose and contributing to humanity and to the collective good of all of us. Every time we make a difference for someone, no matter how small it is, we are living with purpose. Every time we act with care and with generosity, we are giving way to our spirit. We are giving way to our divine essence. And as we do that, we are always on purpose. And so I have some questions for you to answer. So you might want to write these down. My first question is to ask yourself, how do I do my job with greater purpose? And to get quiet and to listen within. How do I do my job with greater purpose? How do I parent with greater purpose? How do I do my relationship or my relationships with greater purpose? How do I go to the grocery store and go grocery shopping with greater purpose? How do I drive my car with greater purpose? Whatever you do, you can ask yourself, how can I do this with greater purpose? And so our call is to remember the truth of oneness, that we are one with everyone and everything and the whole of things, that there really is only one, and that we are each a part of that one. That we are one with each other, one with the whole, one with the infinite love intelligence of this universe. Our call is to listen to our hearts and to listen to our spirits, to listen to that inner calling. to listen to our hearts and what makes us happy and what we feel passionate about, what makes us feel alive and what makes us feel satisfied. And then take a step. Do something. Try it on. See how it fits. See if it's the thing that makes your heart sing and makes you feel satisfied and fulfilled. Because as we do it, that's when we become clear if this is it or not. So try some things on that feel like they might be on purpose for you. And as a result, you will be saying, "Here I am." And you will be living with purpose and on purpose, living with soul purpose, the purpose that your soul came here to express. And so blessings to each and every single one of you as you give way to that soul call, as you give way to that divine presence in this world that makes a difference everywhere you go and with everyone you come in contact with. Blessings to each and every single one of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so I take my attention right now and turn it to that infinite one, that infinite presence of love and good that expresses itself as everything in this entire universe, that which was before time began, and that which is in and through and around and as everything unto the ends of time. That is the presence that we live in. Everywhere we go, in everything we do, we walk in that presence. And that presence lives within us and expresses within us as a sense of purpose, as a call of what is ours to do. It expresses within us as love and inclusion and oneness, as care and compassion and kindness and reaching out. For every time we reach out, we are giving way to that divine presence, the presence of oneness. And so today we live our lives in that awareness of oneness, oneness with God, that divine presence, the love of the universe and life itself, one with each and every person, that we are each a part of this whole. And so today we walk this path and we are led and we are guided by our own intuition, by our own hearts and our own souls to be a beneficial presence in this world and to bring good into this world. And so I recognize that not only is that true for us, but right now there is an awakening happening on this planet, an awakening of heart call and soul call to be a beneficial presence, to bring good into this world, to bring forward the truth of oneness and inclusion and love and kindness. There's a reaching out of hands and of hearts and of minds. And in such, we are creating heaven on earth. And so I see this happening. And I hold this highest vision for humanity. And so it is with a grateful heart, a heart overflowing with love, that I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding everywhere where there is the slightest opening for it. What a blessing it is to be a part of this. And so I release this prayer, and I say, and so it is. And so I have a couple of invitations for you. One is next week we are going to be having a live and in-person service again at Hartwell Park. It will be in the same place that we've been doing it. Look for your email. If you haven't been there yet, we would love to have you join us. It's so nice to be able to be together in person and get to see each other and catch up with each other. So I invite you to come join us for that. It's the last Sunday of the month. We are also doing Coffee in the Park on Thursday mornings at 10:30. You are welcome to come join us for that. We're doing little bits of reading of spiritual inspiration, and people just get to sit in the shade and enjoy each other's company. So bring a chair and bring a mask and bring some coffee for yourself, and we will do that. We are also doing a Thursday evening Zoom call that I talked about, spiritual practice and connection. You are invited to join us for that also. If you are not on our email list and would like to be included in those things, would like to receive those invitations and maps, please email us at livingbeyondlimitscsl@gmail.com, and we will make sure you get on that mailing list. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which gives you a one click to watch the videos. And we have Ministry of Prayer is still active. So if you have a prayer request and would like us to support you during the next week in prayer, you can text or email Barbara Conant or call her, or you can email me at that email address, and I will make sure to get it out to the practitioners. And last, I would just like to thank you so much for your ongoing support of Living Beyond Limits. It is enabling us to stay afloat and to pay our bills and to actually continue to pay our employees, which feels like such a blessing to me and feels like living with purpose, because we have two young employees who are college age, and it really helps them to be able to continue to support them while they can't work with us. So I thank you for your support, for your love, for being here, and I look forward to seeing you here in 2 weeks online, and I look forward to seeing you next week in the park. So in the next week, blessings to you, and I will see you soon. Bye.